How We Got Our Bible, Chapter 14, Page 8, Chapter 14. The Westcott Hort Heresies. Consider the following quotes taken from the letters and commentaries of either Westcott or Hort. They contain land of mush, words that don't seem to mean anything substantial, but which quietly twist the truth of God's word into something other than bold and literal. Westcott stated in letter to the Archbishop of Canterbury, in 1890, I am quite sure that our Christian faith ought not to be periled, pose a threat, on any predetermined view of what the history and character of the documents contained in the OT must be. What we are bound to hold is that the OT, substantially, as we receive it, is the divine record of the discipline of Israel. This it remains, whatever criticism may determine, or leave undetermined, as to constituent parts. No one now, I suppose, holds that the first three chapters of Genesis, for example, give a literal history. I could never understand how anyone reading them with open eyes could think they did, yet they disclose to us a gospel. So it is probably elsewhere. How We Got Our Bible. Hort, on the other hand, was fascinated by Charles Darwin, and mentioned him repeatedly in his letters. For instance, he wrote to the Reverend John Ellerton on April 3, 1860. But the book which has most engaged me is Darwin. Whatever may be thought of it, it is a book that one is proud to be contemporary with. I must work out and examine the argument in more detail, but at present my feeling is strong that the theory is unanswerable. Westcott and Hort were both willing to question Genesis. By rejecting the first three chapters of the Bible, these men both deny the creation of the world by the Word of God, a truth confirmed many places elsewhere in Scripture. God gave the Israelites the blessing of a Sabbath day of rest, as a constant reminder of His work as Creator, and the Mosaic Covenant is based on it. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath, throughout their generations, for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel, forever, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested, and was refreshed. Exodus 31:16-17. The Westcott Hort Heresies. Jesus Christ recognized the first chapters of Genesis as literal history, as we see in Matthew 19:4-6. If God did not make humans male and female in Genesis 1:27 and bind them together in Genesis 2:24, then our whole basis of marriage according to Christ is built on false premises. We also have the painfully central issue of the first sin, and the fall. If there was no literal Adam, then Jesus could not come and replace him, making 1 Corinthians 15:21 FF completely meaningless. Jesus didn't just come to die for our sins, he came to reverse the destruction that Adam caused, to take Adam's place, and remove the curse that has infected every one of us from birth. As Paul tells us, for, as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, 1 Corinthians 15:22. Christianity makes no sense without the first three chapters of Genesis. From this starting point, Westcott and Hort offer an array of peculiar teachings. For instance, Westcott repeatedly denied that Jesus said, page 9, my Father, and chose to use text that said, the Father, instead promoting a concept called a universal fatherhood of God. In his commentary on John 10:29-30, he states, emphasis, in the original, the thought, which is concrete in verse 28, is here traced back to its most absolute form, as resting on the essential power of God in His relation of universal fatherhood, I and the Father are one. How we got our Bible. Every word in this pregnant clause is full of meaning. It is I, not the Son as it should be. The Father, not my Father, as it should be. One essence, not one person, as it should be. Are, not am, as it should be. The revelation is of the nature of Christ, in the fullness of His double nature. Of the incarnate Son, in the fullness of His manifested being. And that in relation to the Father. To God as He is Father, at once of the Son, and of men. The incarnation was the proof of the complete unity of the Father, and the Son. Through that was shown the true connection of God and man. And so it is that the union of believers together is made dependent on the union of the Father and the Son. XVII 22, according to the true reading. The error here is very subtle. The explanation sounds correct. Jesus does have the double nature of God and man. However, Westcott manages to bend the meaning of this powerful verse to equate the sonship of Jesus with the sonship of mankind. And these two sets of relationships are very different. The Bible makes it clear that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God, God made flesh, and the rest of us are made the children of God by adoption. Westcott cunningly advances the idea that all humans are the children of God, equal with Christ. The Westcott-Hort heresies. It is true that God made us all, but the Bible teaches that we are made sons of God when we are born again. And some people are not God's children. Jesus tells Nicodemus he must be born again, and he calls the Pharisees the sons of the devil. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." John 3 5-6. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. John 8:44. The Apostle Paul understands these things, and states them clearly, making no bones about the difference between being born of the flesh and being born of the Spirit. We are sons of God by salvation who believe on His name. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, Galatians 3:26. How we got our Bible. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed, Romans 9:8. Mr. How We Got Our Bible, Chapter 14, Page 10. It seems strange that something as simple as changing my father to the Father could have such massive theological implications, but these are the sorts of decisions that Westcott and Hort deliberately and pointedly made when developing their Greek text. Fenton Hort repeatedly struggles to understand Christ's sacrifice and our position in Him. In his letter to Westcott on August 14 and 16, 1860, he states his view that man is divine, having been made in the image of God. It is of course true that we can only know God through human forms, But then I think the whole Bible echoes the language of Genesis 1:27 and so assures us that human forms are divine forms. 78. He also has confusion over the idea of Christ as a ransom, saying, "Of course, I confess I have no repugnance to the primitive doctrine of ransom paid to Satan, though neither am I prepared to give full assent to it. But I can see no other possible form in which the doctrine of ransom is at all tenable. Anything is better than the notion of ransom paid to the Father." The Westcott-Hort heresies. This is an issue Hort long wrestled over. Almost 11 years earlier, on November 16, 1849, he wrote a long letter to one F.D. Maurice on his bewilderment about Christ's substitutionary punishment for our sins, evil, and the devil. His biggest frustration here at age 21 seems to be that some people might have their sins paid and others not, and that offends him. Emphasis in the original. The fact is, I do not see how God's justice can be satisfied without every man suffering in his own person the full penalty for his sins. I know that it can, for if it could not be the case of some at least, the whole Bible would be a lie, but if in the case of some, why not of all? Hort's views of universalism are thus seen early. He knew the Bible and Orthodox Christian doctrines as well, but those doctrines as bothered him. In fact, the ransom is not paid to Satan, who is himself a criminal doomed to ultimate destruction. The ransom is paid to God the Father, whose laws we have broken. It is the Father who has a right to judge us and charge us for our crimes, and the wages of sin is death. Yet, Jesus' sacrifice that pays the price of death for us originates in the words of Jesus himself. "And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life ransom for many," Matthew 20:27-28. How we got our Bible. Surely Hort could appreciate the simple idea of dying so that somebody else could live. Hort wanted all mankind to be saved, though, and the Bible's punishment of some and not others bothered him. It led to his unorthodox views on the nature of man. By 1860, Hort had completely flipped the meaning of salvation in a letter to Westcott. "My dear Westcott, I entirely agree, correcting one word, with what you there say on the atonement, having for many years believed that the absolute union of the Christian, or rather, of man, with Christ himself is the spiritual truth of which the popular doctrine of substitution is an immoral and material counterfeit." Mr. How We Got Our Bible, Chapter 14. Page 11. Hort wrongly unifies all mankind with Christ himself, not just Christians, and he dismisses as immoral the view that Jesus was substituted for us as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. His error is clear, because the entire Bible supports Christ as a substitutionary sacrifice. The Day of Atonement in Leviticus 23 is of a substitute for sin. The entire Levitical sacrificial system was set up to represent the atoning sacrifice of Christ, with his blood spilled for our sins. Hebrews 10 describes this very directly. The Westcott-Hort heresies. Westcott and Hort created a Greek New Testament to reflect the twisted doctrines they wanted to believe, ideas not based on the clear meaning of the Word of God. Hort blatantly confuses the unity of the Church and Christ by declaring that Christians and non-Christians are Christ, mixing in the heretical New Age idea that we are God, taking the authority from God Himself, and handing the power and glory to us where it does not belong. Hort writes in a letter to F. D. Maurice, which expands on his confusion and central concept. It is easy to see that there is a close relation between this idea and that, whatever it may be, which underlies sacrifice, the prohibition of the eating of the blood, circumcision, and its ablution, and finally St. Paul's mysterious words, without shedding of blood there is not remission of sins. But I have labored so utterly in vain to apprehend in any measure what this idea is, that I hope you will deepen and widen the hints you have already given. I am quite conscious that I have given but few distinct objections to the common belief in what I have written, but so indeed it must be. Language cannot accurately define the twinge of shrinking horror which mixes with my thoughts when I hear the popular notion asserted. How we got our Bible. Often Westcott's commentaries sound perfectly orthodox. Yet, there are numerous other questionable statements made by both men in reference to Christ and the biblical teachings. Hort supported the idea of purgatory. I agree with you in thinking it a pity that Maurice verbally repudiates purgatory. Westcott doubted the reality of a physical heaven. No doubt the language of the rubric is unguarded, but it saves us from the error of connecting the presence of Christ's glorified humanity with place. Heaven is a state, and not a place. The Westcott-Hort Greek text. All these statements, however, are not as striking as a simple comparison of the words and phrases that Westcott and Hort left out of their Greek New Testament. 87. The differences are easy to find with a comparison of verses in the King James, with newer versions, like the RSV, NASB, NIV, or NLT, that use the Westcott-Hort Greek text. Trends can be seen just from words removed from a few verses in the Gospel of Matthew. Mr. How We Got Our Bible, Chapter 14, Page 12. The Westcott-Hort Heresies. Matthew 1:25. And knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. 5:44. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you, and persecute you. 6:13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. 9:13. But go ye, and learn what that meaneth, I will have mercy, and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. 13:51. Jesus saith unto them, have ye understood all these things? They say unto him, yea, Lord. 16:20. Then charged he his disciples, that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. 17:21. Howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. 18:11. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. 19:9. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery, and whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery. 19:17. And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is, God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. 20:16. So the last shall be first, and the first last, for many be called, but few chosen. 23:14. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. 25:13 Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day, nor the hour, wherein the Son of Man cometh. 27:35 And they crucified him, and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. How we got our Bible. Jesus says, Lord. These trends continue through the rest of the Gospels. From the very beginning of the book of Mark, Christ's deity is denied with the rejection of the words, Son of God. References to Jesus as Lord and Christ are removed, Mark 9:24, 11:10, Luke 4:41, 7:31, 22:31, 23:42, John 1:14, 4:42, 6:69, and in Luke 2:33 the name of Joseph is replaced with Father, as a subtle way to discredit the virgin birth. Punishment and rewards. There is a reluctance in the Westcott Hort text to recognize that anybody will be lost. In Mark 9:44 and 46, they've removed the verses that say, Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. The entire verse of Mark 11:26 is omitted, But, if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. The mention of negative consequences are gone from Mark 6:11 and John 3:15 as well. Not all, but many references to heaven and Christ's return to the Father are removed, as in Luke 11:2-4, 24:51 and John 3:13, 16:16. The power of the Scriptures. Christ's fulfillment of scriptural prophecies are consistently scrubbed in the Westcott Hort text, as in Mark 13:14, 15:28 and Luke 11:29. The end of Luke 4:4 is removed, and with it, Jesus' emphasis on every word of God. Mr. How We Got Our Bible, Chapter 14, Page 13. The Westcott Hort Heresies. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Outside the Gospels. The purging doesn't stop at the Gospels. In Acts according to the flesh, is removed from the following verse in accordance with Gnostic prejudices. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ, to sit on his throne, Acts 2:30. In Acts 8, Westcott and Hort chop out the Ethiopian eunuch's confession of faith by removing verse 37. And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Acts 8:37. How we got our Bible. They also hacked up the verses in Acts 9 when Jesus speaks to Paul. And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest, it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Acts 9:5, 6 KJV. Verses. Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, he replied. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. Acts 9:5, 6 NIV. Consider others. Ephesians 3:9 and, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Ephesians 3:14 For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father, of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1:22 Seeing ye have purified your souls, in obeying the truth through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart. 1 Peter 4:1 For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. The Westcott Hort Heresies. 1 John 5:7, 8:4 There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. Revelation 11:17 saying, We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art, and wast, and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power, and hast reigned. It seems that Westcott and Hort chose the Alexandrian codices, with their many errors, because these texts gave them the freedom to pick and choose what they would, and would not keep in the New Testament. Sometimes their choices coincide with the Latin Vulgate, and sometimes they do not. Yet, Westcott and Hort were able to defend their text, by saying they used the oldest complete manuscripts. End of chapter 14.